God bless you all. How you doing?
Yeah.
All right. I want to thank Reverend Jerry Carr again for the great privilege to be able to do this. Sure is a privilege and an honor to share God's word, especially at a time like this. You can take your Bibles and go to 1 John. That's where we'll start. I'm going to share on actioning our sonship rights. So, those of you who have children might have gone through some of this when you prepare to have a child. Like when you're married and you're ready and you start thinking about having a child, you start praying, right? You plan to, you want a baby, so you pray. And then once you get pregnant, you start praying for the thing in there, right? Then you start dreaming, is it going to be a boy? Is it going to be a girl? And it does matter. There is a difference. You start thinking, what are the names that I could pick? You start dreaming of this child. Who are they going to look like? What are the personalities going to be? You start just gushing on this thing coming. Where am I going to put this thing? You might start to prepare a room. Do we want to know whether it's going to be a boy or girl or not? What are we going to do to prepare and all that? And it's so much heart there, right? Well, that's what God did to prepare for us. He wanted this thing. He wanted this family. And it really should touch our hearts in all that God did to prepare for us. And if you don't have children, you will do that. And it will be awesome. 1 John chapter 3. God loves us so much, he gave his only begotten son for the whole world to have the opportunity to be saved once and when someone would believe. And then this here, it says, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, when?
Now.
Now are we the sons of God. So this, you just need to take a step back, okay? Because sometimes we read the word quickly, and, you know, sometimes our brains go on autopilot. I know that verse, right? But let's just take a step back for a second. This word, behold, it's like this. Behold! It's like there's something to be held. It's like God's got something. And he says, behold, check it out. Behold. This word behold means to look to the end of perceiving, to check it out, okay? So that you can know what it's all about, so you could behold it. So you can mess with it, so you can have it. Behold, what kind of love is this? What kind of love is this? Being a son of God makes you somebody. Do you understand? This world tries to make everyone a clone, to just blend, to just get in line, man. You don't matter one bit, like at the airport. You know what I'm saying? But you are somebody in this world. Damn it. God's love has no expiration date. Thank God for that. There is no end to it. And there's no boundary that you can cross where he's going to snatch it away from you. You know? Think of a parent with a baby. Those of you who are parents, maybe this has happened. Your baby poops, and then they get in the diaper, and then they have an extraordinary artistic moment. So you take the baby and you throw it out the window because you're done with that, right? Who wants to deal with that? Well, You clean the baby up, and you love the baby. And you could tell it whatever you want. It doesn't know what you're saying. But you love this thing, this child. You love it, no matter what it does, as a parent. And that's just us in our human minds. But God, he loves us. And we cannot blow it to the point where we lose anything that he has given us. And that's great. He has no stepchildren. He has no, we're not, you know, simply adopted by a piece of paper. This thing required seed. And that is just awesome. And if there's any title that you would want to aspire to in this life, okay, maybe CEO. You want to be a CEO? How about a governor? Maybe a governor? You're talking a title? What about president? Well, that would suck because it only lasts 4 years. But what about the title of being a son of God? It's so awesome. Beloved, when?
Now.
Now we're sons of God. You know, it's what I'm sharing on is our sonship rights that we have right now. And a right is a legal thing. This is our position in life. We are this now. And we have rights as sons of God. A right is a legal entitlement to have or obtain something or act a certain way. This is a legal thing. And it is an entitlement. And, you know, when you think of someone being entitled, you think, oh, well, why do you got to act so entitled? Excuse me, as a believer, we are entitled to all that God gave us. It is not being conceited. It is not being high-minded. It's not being an ass. It's being right in your mind. And it's not acting, okay? Because when I think of acting, as John Rue well knows, you're playing a part. Right? An actor plays a part. So this is not just acting like a son or daughter of God, but you're actioning your sonship rights. You're putting them in motion in your life. You know who you are. You're not playing a part. This is who you are. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Says here, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, it says, but that word is creation. Look at that. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are what? Behold! Ta-da! All things are become new. So if you still live in your mind like the old man, that's just not right. You're neglecting who you are. You are just shunning your sonship rights as a child of God. That new creation, that's in the category of awesome, okay? It's in the category of believing who we are. And these sonship rights that we have, that's what should prevail in our minds. Over all the other thoughts and things that the adversary throws at us, that maybe some relatives throw at you, that maybe your own brain thinks of, your sonship rights should prevail over all the old man dead list of stuff and the dead lies, okay? Maybe you're already living your life's dream and you have it all right now already. Christ comes back right now while I'm sharing this stuff. It is possible, right?
Yeah.
It's imminent. It's any time. The adversary's pooping in his pants knowing that at any moment, he's done. It's over. Next chapter for him. Romans 10. Romans chapter 10. God's prevailing word, prevailing in our minds. And that's where it starts, really. Before it's going to prevail out in the world, it's got to prevail where? Right here. Right here. Romans 10, 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And at that very moment, whenever that moment was for you, the floodgates just opened. Okay? And just like a baby, when a baby's born, it's a little thing, and it has all of its physical parts already. It's not going to grow a new thing. It has its parts. It's what it's going to be. And that's the same for us spiritually. That moment that you got born again, whenever that was, you received all your spiritual parts that you were ever going to get. And you've got them already. And that's the same deal, okay, being born again. You're complete the moment you got born again. You didn't have to learn about stuff. You didn't have to do anything. You just had it when you got born again, because that's that miracle of the new birth. Isn't that amazing? You didn't have to learn about it, but you got it anyway. It's beautiful. And God is this fountain of living waters, right? It just constantly flows with God. He's just a fountain of living waters. And he fills us until we run over. And that's what's been happening with some tears at this thing already. Actually with me. I've been so loaded up and so gushy, like all of a sudden just tears welling up, and it's like, what? It's just overflowing. And that's what God does for us when we manifest, when we have this spirit. It just flows out of us. The moment we believed, it was like ba-ba-boosh-ka boom. The miracle of the new birth. I love that word for some reason. We have a treasure in an earthen vessel, as 2 Corinthians 4:7 says. A treasure in an earthen vessel. This treasure, it's wealth. That's how God describes it, this treasure in earthen vessels. It's the place in which good and precious things are collected and laid up. Precious things, okay? And of course, to be saved is to be made whole. Body, soul, and spirit now, saved from the penalty of death and destruction, to bestow everlasting life as the result of the resurrection, we received everlasting life. To be saved means to receive the Spirit of God. It means to be born again, that you have God in Christ in you. It means you have eternal life never to be taken away from you. How many times does someone get born again?
Once.
Most of the Christians in the world think that you get spirit, you're saved, and all of a sudden, oh, I did something wrong, and now I'm not born again anymore. I'm going to hell. Then I have to get reborn again. How many times do we need to get born again?
Once.
We know that. The world does not. They're trying to get born again and again and again. And again, and again, and again, and it's redonkulous that they think that. When we have the word of God like a silver platter right in your laps. Meanwhile, there's billions who don't know that one little thing that we think is so silly that we giggle about. It's huge. They have no idea. And we are the alternative to religion. This is life. We're born again, never to be taken away, eternal life. And being saved, of course, means we're a child of God. He dreamed about having us. He loves you, as been shared so beautifully. And our salvation was like being rescued. And the analogy is that we were falling down off a cliff into a pit. And as we were in the air, we were snatched out of the air. And God saved us. We were not saved to be extraordinary and live like an old man that's dead. We were saved to be extraordinary. And I expect every single one of you to put on this word of God and live like an extraordinary human being, because that's exactly what you are. You're extraordinary. You have spirit. You're not of this world. Something's different about you. It means something that you're a son of God. Verse 10. For with the heart man believeth unto what? Unto means into. What are you into? If you don't believe this word, although you are righteous, you're not going to act righteous or action it into your life. You believe into righteousness. And that's great. You're righteous. That changes everything. You're right with God now. We have God's righteousness, which means the God-given ability. It's not your ability. It's the God-given ability to be able to stand before him without any sense of guilt or shortcomings or condemnation or guilt. And it also means you could stand in the adversary's presence, okay, without any fear or defeat, because you're a child of God. And that just changes it all. That's the right we have to be righteous now, because God gave so much for that to be true. And that is the beginning. This is like Bible 101, right? Mm-hmm. Romans 10, 9 and 10, righteousness. Maybe there's a reason why God stuck it right there in Bible 101. Righteousness. We're righteous, and that's a right. And the word right is in the word righteousness. And as I said previously at some other thing, the opposite of righteousness is righteousness. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, or 2, verse 12. 1 Corinthians 2, 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God. There's that beautiful word of seed. That we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. We receive the spirit which is of God. And that is awesomeness. That we might know, okay? That's to perceive with our eyes, to get knowledge of, and to understand. It's not just to look at it and say, oh, that's great, and you don't really know what's going on there. It's to know. He wants us to know, to understand, to perceive all that he's done, the things. And there's quite a list of things, okay? We only have time to touch on some of the things, okay? But you go to fellowship, right? You're going to hear about these things more, of course, for the rest of your life as a believer, standing on God's word, understanding and perceiving and learning about all the things that God wants us to perceive, that he's what? Freely given us. Freely given us. And sometimes when you're given something free, you might take it for granted. Mm-hmm. You know? Like some rich kids born with a silver spoon in their mouth, they always have fresh fruit available in their home, and they take it for granted sometimes. Let that not be us, to take what God has given us for free for granted, but to appreciate what he's given us, that we might know the things that are freely given us. And these things are our birthright, because we got born again. So they're our birthright. What if you were born into this incredible family that went back, you know, to the children of the American Revolution? And you were part of a family that got a land grant from King Charles to come over, you know? But you want to give up your birthright and just go in the streets and beg or something. We are born into the family of God. as a child of God. And this birthright, it's so awesome. There's this word as part of the definition for birthright that is primogeniture. I was like, really? Maybe that would bless guys like Jesse and Patty and stuff. I know. It's a great word. It's a great word. What it means is the right of the firstborn. You're not just like 4 billionth in line, okay, as a child of God. You have every right as a child of God, as the firstborn, because it's God in Christ in you. You're a child of God. You have full identification with Christ. That's huge. Firstborn rights, that's us, our birthright. It's great. And birthright is also a particular right of possession or privilege one has from birth. So these things down, look at first, same chapter here, verse 9. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man, what? The things which God hath prepared for them that love him. That means that none of these things entered a brain cell of a human being. It never entered into the heart of man, these things, which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the what?
Deep
things of God. The truth regarding the knowledge of the mystery has been revealed, as Jesse so greatly shared. The deep things of God. The deep things are the deep, like the sea, the deep things. And it is also, the deep things are profundity. See, I could say those big words too sometimes. But I was like, okay, profound, I get that. The profound things of God. The deep things, deep insight, great depth of knowledge or thought, the things of God. And although they're deep, they're simple that we could understand. It's not so deep that, oh, I can't get there. That's not it at all. They're deep and they're profound and they're simple. Romans 8:15. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of what?
Adoption.
That's wrong. You should cross it out of your Bible right now if it's not crossed out and write in sonship. That is not accurate. Whereby we cry, Abba, Father. That word adoption is sonship. We receive this, the spirit of sonship. And even in the translation here, the adversary is already trying to hide it from us, trying to diminish it into something less than what it is. And this, although adoption is a legal thing, it's paper, it's a contract, right? But our sonship is way deeper. It's seed within that cannot come out. It cannot be rescinded. It's done once you receive it. We cry out to God for his help. We cry out, Abba, Father, and not like the band, although I love Abba, a few songs, but Abba, Father, like a baby crying out to his father or her father. And it says Father there. It's tender. It's not crying out to Lord God Almighty in this particular case. It's crying out to Daddy, your father. God's relationship with us is a tender one. He cares about us. He loves us, even though he knows everything about us. There's nothing hidden with God. And that's why he did what he did. And he brought us into his family. He brought us deep in. We all share the right as a firstborn. It's wild. Crying out to God is not a sign of weakness. It's a sign of humility. And it's just smart. pride of men is just weakness, really. And women who want to be all independent and do their own thing, more weakness. Crying out to God is what he wants us to do. And as the adversary tries to ensnare us in the spirit of bondage, that's what we do. We cry out to God. Romans 8, 16 and 17. You right around the corner there? The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and what?
Joint
heirs. There it is. See? If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. That's fellow heirs. Heirs of God. We get to enjoy all the rights and privileges as an heir of God. That all that comes with sonship. Just like Jesus Christ. So this term, sonship rights, like the word right, some of the synonyms for that are really great, or words that are in the definition of a right. And, you know, maybe you thought about some of your rights as an American citizen, you know, which are backed by the Constitution, right? Our sonship rights as a son or daughter of God are backed by this document right here, God's Word. And I think our Constitution was pretty much based on something from here, which is pretty awesome. But one of the synonyms and part of the definition of a right is an entitlement, or you're entitled to. And that's the fact of having a right to something, the belief that one is inherently deserving or privileges or special treatment when you're entitled to something. And you are entitled. And that's okay. It's usually like in a bad sense. Oh, what are you? You're acting entitled. Absolutely, I'm acting entitled. You know, part of living an abundant life is not living like everyone else in the world. An abundant life is above measure. I'm sorry, but the world lives here. We live here. An abundant life is above measure. So yes, we are entitled, and it's okay. Because you are part of the amazing household of God with all the rights of the firstborn. So actioning these sonship rights, we're entitled to be heirs. So we walk with confidence, with boldness, with assurance, with our shoulders back, like we are who we are, what God says we are. Romans 3, verse 23. Romans 3, 23. Some more synonyms or part of what a right is justness. It's legality, liberty, and license, like a permit. When you go get a license to fish, if a cop comes up to you fishing, you don't have that license, you got to pay your child support, I guess, or something. But when you have the permit, it's like, oh, okay. You have license. You have right. That's the stupidest example with fishing. But we have the right to what God's word says. We have license to it, okay? Romans 3, 23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, except not us, that's right. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. We have justification. It is justness, it's legal, it's liberty, and it's license. Justification is to set forth as righteous, to justify by judicial act, by a judicial decision to free a man from his guilt, which stands in the way of his being right, and to represent him as righteous. I know I'm blasting through some of these. If you want to see this after, you may. But that's an incredible thing, to be justified. And that word justified comes from the word just. It's fulfilling all claims which are right and becoming. A right state, so that no fault or defect can be charged. So, the great definition of justification on the streets is just as if you never sinned. You're just. And you know you, and sometimes it's like, well, but I just blew it. Okay, well, that's why God sent his son to save us. You're justified. You have the right to it. And if you don't claim it, you got talked out of the word. And that's a damn crying shame. But you have the right to it because of that second part of the verse. Justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. We have redemption, okay? That means freed or released. Deliverance from guilt and punishment brought about by the act of bringing forward a ransom. Making amends or reparation for guilt. And you know who stepped forward for you, right? The very life of Jesus Christ. So when we don't claim that right, it's like he did it for nothing. Don't be that guy, okay? Because you're being an ass. And I have the right to reprove you about it, because that's just devilish. Another synonym for right is due. And that means a person's right of what he's owed. So we're justified. We're redeemed because it's been paid for by the very life of Jesus Christ. So it's due to us. Our justification is due to us because it's been paid for. And that's pretty freaking awesome. That should just settle any rumblings in our minds of, wait, shut up. It's paid for. And if he messes with you, he's trespassing on God's property. And he's out of line. He's completely out of line. And you have every right to come out with both barrels blazing. Get off my lawn, you sumama. He shouldn't be messing with us. He's out of line. It's illegal. But he does it anyway because he's a jerk. We have the right to come out and use all the power that we have. We have Holy Spirit, spoken tongues so we could hear it. We have the power of the name of Jesus Christ. Okay? Those are our weapons in this warfare. We have the bazooka, the greatest weapon ever. The power of God and the power of the name of Jesus Christ. So, that's acting like a son of God when we don't put up with it. And we claim our rights of what's due to us because of what's been paid for us. And just like we have these rights of freedom of speech, freedom of religion and assembly and all, we have these rights as citizens of heaven, and that's what you are. You're even seated at the right hand of God, just like Jesus Christ himself is. You're seated there already in God's eyes. So, man, a couple more synonyms for this, for rights. It's also a privilege and an advantage. You think of people who are privileged or they have an advantage in life and it's not fair. Come back down. You don't deserve that privilege. Oh, you have white privilege. Well, damn it, we have light privilege. We have right privilege. And that's A-okay with me, baby, because we're supposed to live this life more than abundant. And that's part of living it. So quit trying to act like the world and blend in and take yourself down, because that's not right. We have light privilege, right privilege, which is better than any kind of privilege. How many Christians don't even know what kind of rights and privileges they have? Too many. We need to let them know. An advantage, or we'll start with privilege. A privilege is a special right or advantage or immunity granted or available to a particular person or group. Yeah, we have privilege, and that's right on because you have an amazing God. That's why. And you do have an advantage. You have the advantage of God being for you. What kind of advantage in life is that? That's quite an advantage. Man, it's awesome. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. How you guys doing? You good?
Yes.
2 Thessies 2. Oh. Verse 13. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. We're beloved of God, and that's awesome in and of itself, just to be titled the beloved of God. And we have sanctification. Sanctification is that we're set apart. We're set apart from this world for heaven. That's quite an advantage to have in this life. We know that now. It's not like that's going to be like some kind of prize at the end. No, we have that now. We're born again now. So we're set apart for heaven now. That's quite the advantage and privilege we have in this life. And so many wonderful Christian believers think and wonder whether they're going to get to heaven. You're sitting on a gold mine, I mean bullion, mounds of bullion to give out to this world. Another synonym for rights is authority, authorization, and power, okay? Authority means the power or right to give orders, to make decisions and enforce obedience. And you don't have to turn there, I'll just read it to you. Luke 4:36, it says, and they were all amazed and spake among themselves, saying, what a word is this? For with authority and power he commanded the unclean spirits, and they come out. As a son of God, you have authority in this life. You've got it already. As the representative of Christ in this earth, with the same birthrights, you have the authority to do that as well. Okay? You have authorization in this life. Authorization is the act, an action, or fact of authorizing of something that's, you know, it's okay to do. You're authorized to do it. And in 2 Corinthians 5:18, I'll just read it to you. You don't have to go there. It says, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. We have a ministry of reconciliation. We're authorized to talk about it. You have freedom of speech to speak of our ministry of reconciliation, not because the United States government is allowing you. You're authorized by God Almighty to reconcile others back to God. It's his authorization, not your government's. And we have power. A right is also a power. I'm sure you've heard of power of attorney. We have the power to act. The word power means the ability to do something or act in a particular way. And by the way, that reconciled, we are reconciled to God. Just like we speak his word and reconcile others back to God, we've been reconciled, which is to put back together. So we have the right to wield power in this life, as sons of the Almighty God that we are, in Ephesians 3:20. This is so awesome. This blessed my, I don't know what off, my socks, I guess. All this stuff. The encouragement that the word gives is like none other. you know? It just settles things for you. It's either the word of God or some other thoughts you're going to settle for. And it's the word of God that needs to prevail in our hearts. In Ephesians 3:20, it says, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the what? Power that worketh in us." God can do stuff that you can't even imagine, or he has solutions that you can't think of. But it's that power that he's given us that works within us. It's God's dynamite power that he's given us, that works in us, that's at work in us and is operative in us. We have the ability to operate the 9 manifestations. That's power. We are sons of God with power in this life. We can speak in tongues, interpret tongues, and prophesy, can't we? Yes. We have the ability to receive word of knowledge, word of wisdom, and we could discern spirits. And that is not something you need to beg for. You just need to know that you have the right to wield God's power, and that you have a connection with God, and when you're in fellowship with God, you're confident and you can walk like Christ walked, having the mind of Christ. It's God's power working in you. So when you know something or think to do something, what the heck do you think that is? If it's not against God's word and contrary to the word, you just do it because it's God in Christ working in you. God in Christ in you. You have power. The ability to wield God's power in this life. Imagine if Jesus Christ was too afraid or didn't believe. He believed and walked and knew what to do. Up until the very moment he might not have known, but at the moment he knew. Word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning of spirits, and then believing. The manifestation of believing. The manifestation of gifts of healing and the working of miracles. Yes. Signs and wonders follow them that believe. They don't precede them. They're not to get us to believe. Do you understand that? We believe and then we see. That's the order. That's how it works. And of course, when something wonderful happens, others hear about it and it might help their believing, and that's great. But it's not a condition for it to happen. And all of those things you're going to hear more about. So to close, Ephesians 1, 3. Ephesians 1, 3, it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath," that is the past tense version, "hath blessed us with" what?
All spiritual.
With how many?
How many?
All spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. God had his spiritual blessings box. And he didn't just open it up and, you know, sprinkle a little to us. He took the box, turned it upside down, and patted it out where there was none left in there. You got them all already. Every single one of them. He didn't hold any back. You've got them already. All the spiritual blessings, the deep things of God, you've got them already. These things, spiritual blessings, it's all of them without exception. All of them. We are already able to live our life's dream now. It's not wishful thinking. Believing is not wishful thinking. It's knowing what's true and acting on it. This is God's heart for his children. This is what he's made available to us. To be sons of God, actioning our sonship rights, living who we truly are. We're entitled to be beloved, to be sons of God, to have a new creation, to be saved, to be righteous, to be a child of God and heir of God, to be joint heirs with Christ. We are due our justification, our redemption. We have the advantage of God being for us and being saved and sanctified. We have the authority to speak God's word and to be ambassadors in this life. We have the right to wield God's power and to operate the nine manifestations. Not just some, but all of them. All spiritual blessings that he's bestowed upon us. So what a friggin' life. What more do you want? You've got it. Let's change the freaking world. My heart is that the believing that takes place from this camp just changes everything. And that we can change this world to help it, to bless it. It's not all on your shoulders alone. It's on the total body of Christ, all of us, that we can do so much. Jesus Christ worked with 12. How many people are here? And sometimes those guys ran scared. But then they came back and spoke God's word. And it's the word that does the work. We just speak it. You like what you got inside? Yeah. Let it shine, baby. And let it prevail in your heart.